In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
And greetings once again, my friends, and I'm very excited that you have taken time out of your schedule to tune into the Armor of God telecast. Today's program is about a subject that Americans are familiar with. Not only Americans in particular, but in general, we recognize the need for this type of subject, and we have displayed it in our historical past. It's called sacrificing. I thought back to World War II. I was born a year after World War II ended, but I went through my mother's memorabilia. She has a scrapbook, you know, where back in those days, I guess they were more inclined to do that. I don't know if that's passe or not. Maybe, perhaps it's on our computers now. But she had a bunch of ration books. You remember those, some of you who are older, ration books? Ration books were designed to cause an entire nation to sacrifice because the need was great. There were ration books for gas, a ration book for tires, ration books for food, supplement, certain types of food. You could buy only certain days and with only certain kind of ration books and those kinds of things. I remember, perhaps you do also, that Great Britain had to go through a lot of sacrifices during World War II because things were in short supply, and this rationing was an idea of how to stretch out over the population those necessities, because the army requirements, or the military requirements, were so great. And that is a methodology of sacrificing. We can call it rationing, if you like. But also, remember Rosie the Riveter, how women were asked to come out of the home and to go into factories and help produce all of the accoutrements necessary to wage a successful war. And this was called the sacrifice of a nation. I remember Winston Churchill said, never has so few given so much. Remember, I don't quite have the phrase right, but you know that phrase that he said, so few given so much for so many. Sacrifice. It's a concept. Why, even within families, we recognize the necessity of sacrificing. Perhaps not as we once did, because perhaps all of us have our own televisions in each room and computers and all kinds of things in a lot of American homes and the Western world also. We are privy and have access to great plenty, and that's a wonderful thing to be celebrated and to be acknowledged. When it comes to religion, the word sacrifice tends to be in the context, or it connotes something to do with money. When we hear the word sacrifice in religious terms or in church services, well, you've got to sacrifice. It means give more money. But is that biblical? Let me take you to a passage of Scripture in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. While you're turning there, let me set the stage for today's program. And it's entitled, A Call to Sacrifice. A Call to Sacrifice. Now, the material that we're offering in today's program comes in two formats. You can get it in CD or cassette form. And these messages are very important. The sermon by Charles Gross is entitled, Take Me, Not Them. The concept of sacrifice is there. And then our colleague Wayne Hendricks, a minister here in the Ohio area, has a very intriguing title. It's called Experiencing Lifelong Conversion. That's by Wayne Hendricks. Both of these items can be yours with a toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas, 75710. And if you'd like to stop by our website at www.cgi.org, you can secure all of this material and even review the program that you are watching now. In Genesis 22, that fascinating story of Abraham and the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Now, right away, this is out of some kind of movie, kind of ethereal and surreal movie, perhaps something by Stephen King, you know, sacrificing another human being. Oh, how gauche, you know, how unthinkable. But in fact, Abraham was called to make a sacrifice. Now look at this. Genesis 22 in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am," which is the right response when the Creator gets in touch with you. In verse 2 it says, "And he said," that is, God says, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you thereof." Wow. Do you realize what Abraham had to go through to secure this son, Isaac? Of course, I remind you that he had had a previous son named Ishmael by the handmaiden Hagar, but that was not what God had intended when he promised Abraham and his wife Sarah that they would have a child naturally between the two of them, husband and wife. Well, here comes this bouncing baby boy, Isaac, miraculously at an unbelievable age. Abraham was 100. His wife, Sarah, was 90. Now, just let that filter around your mind. You won't find that on any internet website, I'll tell you that. But I suggest you consider this. The fact that this child comes according to the promise of Almighty God, and then God turns around and says, "Now, I want you to take this promised seed, take him up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to give him as an offering. I want you to sacrifice him." Do you realize what had to be entailed in such an act? First of all, you have to have a complicit child. You read the text and the story, and Isaac even asked, well, verse 7, it says, "Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac was familiar with the sacrificial system in bringing a lamb or a goat or perhaps a calf to be sacrificed, maybe a dove. This was all in the community of the religious activity of Abraham. It was to give a signal to God of appreciation. So you would take of your substance and sacrifice it. So Isaac was sharp enough to say, "Well, now, where's this lamb? I see all of the other accoutrements here, but where's the lamb?" Abraham's response in verse 8 was, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. No, Isaac did not go kicking and screaming. He was anticipating that whatever was going to be supplied for the sacrifice and the sacrificial trip would come from God. Now, in our 21st century mentality, we don't think that this is a very poignant and a very sobering kind of story. I mean, it seems out of place that God would require such a thing, but here's the key. Do you realize that God expects you to sacrifice something for Him? Really, you say? Sacrifice? Sacrifice? How does He expect us to do that? Well, you know, I do give of my tithes and my substance, and that should be enough. Can that buy me a place in the first row? Can that get me a seat in first class if I give of my substance and perhaps even maybe of my time? Would that be sufficient? No. You see, God is looking for something else as a sacrifice from you. As you watch this program today, we can think about perhaps the idea of a sacrificial system called rationing, when the nation is in need. And in some ways, in this American society, we've sacrificed some of our rights. We've sacrificed them for the greater good, in that we want to make sure that those who are plotting and planning the demise of the nation would be apprehended, which means that if they have to peek into our email or perhaps overhear a conversation on the telephone or something like that, it's all for good. And so we are willing to sacrifice in such a circumstance as that. But you see, God is expecting us to sacrifice something more important than perhaps rights and privileges, and perhaps even of our substance. Now, what could that possibly be? We know in the case of Abraham, he was expected to sacrifice his son. The rest of that story goes on to say that even when they got to the place and the altar was there, in verse 9, and Isaac his son was laid on that altar to commence the sacrifice. Verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took his knife to slay his son. What a sight. Verse 11 then says, and the angel of the Lord, the messenger of Yahweh, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And here's what the Creator says to Abraham in that moment. He says, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do these things unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. My question, my friends, is what are you withholding from God? Did you catch what was said here? Abraham was told, now I know. I know you, Abraham, that you truly fear me. That is, you reverence, you respect, you are in awe of me, and you want to show your complicity. I'm not going to allow you to kill your son. I just wanted to see if you would. Now, right away, people are going to be thinking, boy, if God asked me to kill my son, my daughter, I don't think I could even do that. I guess I'd just be on the outside looking in. My friends, the Creator is asking you to sacrifice something more important than your child. He's asking you to sacrifice yourself. What? How could I lay myself on an altar? How could I stab myself in the neck? And how could I go? See, right away you're caught up in the image of what I've just shared with you from Genesis 22. Let us understand from some other scriptures some very important things. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, where Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed, and he's very intimate with them. He's sharing lots of insight into the potentiality, the reality, really, of his demise as a human being on the earth. He was going to be killed, led as a lamb to slaughter, for you see, he was sacrificed. He was the sacrifice, and his Father gave him as a sacrifice for us. But look at what he says in John 15 and verse 13. He says, greater love has no man than this, than a man, than a human being, lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater display of love than to sacrifice one's self. Now, I always point to people, this to people, and suggest to them, now, if I kill myself, then I have no more ability to be of service to anyone else. So it's not really talking about killing oneself, because you see, Jesus Christ, while he died, he rose again. And he was able then to carry out the rest of his commission, to ultimately send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to indwell the disciples and the apostles of the early New Testament church to carry out their mission now of sharing the gospel to everybody else. But how they were to share their lives and to share the gospel was a matter of laying down their lives. And how do you do that? I suggest to people in this passage that laying down one's life means laying down one's life. And of what does your life consist? It's not the blood flowing through your veins. It's your time. We've all been given time on this earth. And what we do with that time will signal to God whether or not we are living a life of sacrificing. Take, for instance, my colleagues here on the Armor of God. Each one of them has their own special personality, their own style, their own ways of communicating with you here on the Armor of God telecast. We have others also who help out in their adventures. You know what they do? They sacrifice. They sacrifice their time in studying the Word of God. They sacrifice their time in coming before you, before these cameras, to share, to get inside of your mind, to share with you the Word of God that will help transform your life and affect that lifelong experience of conversion that Wayne Hendricks talks about in the tape and the cassette or the CD that we're offering in today's program. Charles Gross's tape is about the idea that, well, don't take them. Take me. That's exactly what Jesus said in the night in which he was apprehended by those who came to arrest him. Just take me. Don't bother my disciples. Let them go. I'm the one you're after. Take me, not them. Do you see the concept of sacrificing? While we can go back and look at Abraham's example, it was really a type of Christ. It was a type of the Father sacrificing his Son, which ultimately did happen when the Heavenly Father gave up His Son, Jesus Christ, to the smiters. He was led as a sheep, as a lamb to slaughter for the purpose of fulfilling a requirement that death or a sacrifice be made in order that we receive the benefit of the life that God wants to share with us. Think about that. He was willing to do something, and you know that beloved scripture, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave himself, gave of himself, gave his only begotten Son. That's a whole nother story that I wish I had time to talk about. That whosoever believes in him should not perish forever, but have everlasting life. Then the next verse there, John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through that sacrifice, might be saved. Now, do you expect to get out of this life without sacrificing? Your elder brother, the high priest, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, set an example of giving his life as a ransom for many. Do you expect that you have no responsibility? I know the song, Jesus Paid It All. Well, yeah, he did, but he expects you to pay up too. There is something you must do. First of all, you must receive him. And in that reciprocation, that act of receiving him, there is a responsibility that redounds to you. We come to you each week here on the Armor of God to entice you to make a toll-free phone call. Visit us on our website to apprehend or obtain this free material to further study and inundate yourself with the Word of God so that you can be equipped to make the right sacrifice. Our call to you is to make a sacrifice. Why? The Scriptures say so. Here in this passage in John 15 and verse 14, it says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And he commanded them to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, share the gospel, making disciples of others, making people ready and equipped for sacrificing. Now, you might think, oh, this seems far-fetched for me. I don't know if I want to do such a thing. How would I lay down my life? Well, look at Romans, the 12th chapter, a very interesting passage. Paul writing to the church at Rome, a church that he never attended until later in his life, or never around the brethren there. He hadn't visited this church when he wrote to them. And he talks about a number of things, but in chapter 12 and verse 1, he launches into the idea of sacrifice this way. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know that? Listen to that. Let that sink in. Not a dead sacrifice, not one sacrifice, you're dead and that's it, but a living, a continuous, a lifelong life of sacrificing. Think about that. That you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's your challenge. You know, as you go through your life, you hear a lot of preachers and a lot of philosophers and a lot of political presentations, all kinds of ideas. And sometimes in the cacophony of all of that sound, you will hear a call to sacrifice. As a nation, we're called to make certain sacrifices. As those in religious pursuit, those in pursuit of Almighty God, you're called upon to make sacrifices. Now, you all note on this program that we come on each week and you never hear us say, "My friends, if you want this program to continue, you must reach down deep and make a commitment. Ah, yes, you must make a sacrifice as never before and send in of your tithes and your offerings." You never hear that. You never do. Because we are not out after your money. What we want is you, because we know that the Savior wants you, and we are commissioned, required to get you. We are compelled to go out into the highways and the byways and compel you to come so that you can in turn live a life of sacrificing to your Savior Almighty. Now, this passage here is astounding, yes, but maybe I can make the analogy even tighter if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Here, the Apostle Paul takes the analogy of marriage. This is chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and many of you Bible scholars out there know the passage well. It talks about how a husband and a wife should relate to each other. Starts out in verse 22 saying, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, every woman out there listening to me right now know that is a sacrifice. Because many of you know you're smarter than your husbands. Right? Can I get an amen out? Yeah, I see you out there. You're saying, "Yeah, that's true, and I do have to sacrifice. I have to subject myself to his crazy ideas many times, you know, and then have to pull him out of the fire at the very last, you know." But that's what you're called to do. You're called to live a life of sacrificial giving for your husband. It says, as Christ, as unto the Lord. That's who you're submitting to, really, unto Jesus Christ. But then it goes on in verse 23 to say this astounding thing. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Now, that's a sacrifice. You're called to make that sacrifice, ladies. But what about the men? Oh, you don't get off either free. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church," oh, catch this, fellas, "and gave himself for it." That sounds like sacrificing to me. Where do you get off to ride around on your high horse saying, "I am the king, this is my palace, this is my kingdom, this is my domain, do this, bring me some water, bring me," you know, husbands, you have to live a life of sacrificing as Christ sacrificed for the church. Look at verse 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love," and I might insert, "sacrifice for their wives as their own body." Paul ends this little passage by saying, nevertheless, verse 32, it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He takes this analogy of the husband and wife and how they are to sacrifice for one another, how the children also, watching the example of the parents, come up with an attitude and an idea of living a sacrificial life. My mother used to always tell the children, "Well, you got to share. You must share. One for all and all for one," kind of concept, the Three Musketeers kind of idea. Now, why is that? Because in the idea of sacrificing, you exemplify the attitude that the Creator himself has for us. He was willing to sacrifice his Son on our behalf. The Son then tells us that we should be willing to sacrifice on behalf of the church, that is, to bring others into relationship with God. Do you realize that living a life of sacrifice is a life of self-denial, of denying self? Self says, "I want this, I want that. You know how babies are born into the world? They come in crying and whining and saying, you know, take care of me. My diaper needs changing. I'm hungry. I want to go to sleep. I want to stay up. I don't care what time of night it is for you. That's our tendency. But we are required to mature to the level of understanding that we must live a life of sacrifice. What one gives up for a greater good is a good thing. What I have what I have may be good for me, but the greater good is to sacrifice it. That is the point. Now, I want you to stay tuned and listen to my colleague here, and be sure to make the toll-free call to receive this free material. Till next time, I'm Bronson James for the Armor of God, saying, put on that whole armor, and you will be able to stand.
You know, Bronson's program today was on sacrifice, as most of you realized. And he brought out that perhaps there's no more obvious individuals that make the ultimate sacrifice than those who serve in our military, sacrificing their lives to protect and preserve. And rightly so, that we should acknowledge that particular sacrifice, because it is a very enormous sacrifice. But by the same token, there are many of you that I know are sacrificing for their children, or perhaps an aging parent that you've opened up your home to afford a place to take care of them, or maybe volunteer work at the local hospital, or maybe even working with hospice groups. There are friends perhaps at work that you've made sacrifices for, and it's so often we can get wrapped up in sacrificing for others that, as Bronson pointed out, we can perhaps forget about sacrificing for God. And there is no more important sacrifice than those sacrifices that we consider for God in lieu of what was sacrificed for us, namely the very life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, over in the first book of Peter, the Apostle Peter pointed this same very concern out as well. He says here in chapter 2 and in verse 5, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up the spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God and Jesus Christ." See, the Apostle Peter also, in talking to those early New Testament Christians, was also concerned that they too would be so wrapped up in sacrificing for one another and serving one another that there was a risk of running the possibility of them forgetting also the responsibilities that they had to sacrifice for God. My friends, we have the offer today that is essentially a dual tape set titled Experiencing Life's Long Conversion, presented by our associate Mr. Wayne Hendricks, and another Take Me, Not Them by Charles Gross. My friends, dial now, 888-578-8791. Get this material. There's far more detail in it that you need to know. And keep on that whole armor of God, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.